Welcome to the podcast of this Brecan information session. Information sessions are recorded at the Brecan Resource Centre and can be borrowed in CD format from the Resource Library. Sessions are copyrighted and are for personal home use only. If you would like to know more about this and other sessions, please contact Brecan on 1300 781 500. This session was recorded on the 2nd of April 2014 at the Brecan Resource Centre, located in Melbourne CBD. Monique Baldacchino, breast care nurse at the Royal Women's Hospital, has trained in and practices nipple tattooing, sometimes called micropigmentation, after women have undergone breast reconstruction surgery. Monique will talk about the process of tattooing the areola and nipple, the pigments used, and when, how, and where women can access the service. We hope you find this session interesting.
And so I thought I'd start by saying, what is nipple tattooing? As you may know, it's the art of colouring the nipple and areola complex post-breast reconstruction. And as you may probably also be aware, without that colour, that final icing on the cake, if you like, in reconstruction, the breast can very much look like a mound. And I think that the tattooing very much gives some definition, brings back that focal point to the breast reconstruction, and I find helps to camouflage some scarring and things from flap reconstructions and things as well. So I'm very privileged to be able to do this for the Friday afternoon at the Royal Women's. So why a nurse-led clinic? I'm very fortunate at the Royal Women's that I work with a plastic surgeon that had actually completed his fellowship in the UK. And in the UK, it's very much standard that breast care nurses or breast reconstruction nurses look after nipple tattooing and also look after a lot of information that's provided to women about breast reconstruction and things. So he very much had the idea that this is what happens in a normal plastics and breast service, and he wanted to be able to replicate that here. We felt, I guess, very privileged as breast care nurses and to do this because we have a very unique role where we're able to support our ladies through their breast cancer journey. And I think it's quite comforting for the ladies that I see that for most of them, I know them. And so it's quite a relaxed environment when you come in. There's a lot of time that I'm able to provide rather than seeing a plastic surgeon or someone where it may sometimes be a bit rushed. I generally am able to give quite a bit of time to that. And so it gives an opportunity for good discussion and things as well, I think. And also, at tattooing, I got sent to London because, as I said, that's where in London they very much have been doing this for very many years as the nurses undergoing the nipple tattooing. There are obviously cosmetic tattooists here in Australia, and there are courses that I found about after I came back from London that you can attend. But I was very fortunate, and I'll explain in a moment, to go to a course in London that's quite renowned and, as I said, supports nurses and plastic surgeons in London that have been doing this for a really long time. The Finishing Touches group in Haywards Heath in Sussex, and it was there that I got to sort of learn a lot about areola artistry, they called it. So I got to have a lot of theory-based work, very long days, but also we had patients or clients that came in and we were actually able to do the tattooing there in the course. So after that, I also got to go across to St Andrew's Centre in Broomfield, Chelmsford, which is where Dean Trotter, the plastic surgeon I work with, did his fellowship. So I actually got to follow around the breast reconstruction nurses there and see how they provide support to women having to consider and going through breast reconstruction and how they run their nipple tattooing service and things there as well. The nurses that were there, as I said, were breast reconstruction nurses. They sort of worked side by side with the breast care nurses, so I feel very privileged to do a bit of both. This is the Finishing Touches centre that I got to stay in. That looks very boring. The actual place of Lingfield, where I stayed next to Haywards Heath, was gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous. But at this centre here, these people here have been teaching micropigmentation or cosmetic tattooing, as it can be called, since about 1996, and since 2006 they've actually been educating all the nurses in UK and in Europe and all the surgeons, plastic surgeons, breast surgeons, and speaking at the surgeons conferences around the world. So as I said, it was very privileged to be able to go and learn from these people that have been doing this. So nipple tattooing, as I was saying before, the actual process is quite often called micropigmentation. And what it is, it's the process that we use to create the actual nipple. and involves implanting the safe pigments that I'll go into in a moment into the actual top sort of thin layers of the skin. And because it's only going into those top thin layers of the skin, it's semi-permanent. With the pigments, as I said, I'll describe in a moment, that we use, and the process of being quite superficial, is something that generally you would find that you're most likely going to need a second tattoo or a top-up in about 18 months or so, because it's those top thin layers of skin that over time will shed, so that colour will dissipate a bit. Now that I'm experienced with tattooing and speaking to lots of people that have had other tattoos and things done, quite often I believe even permanent tattoos need to be have some over colour done over different periods, because they will lose some of their colour and become a little bit dull. I've met ladies that have had nipple tattooing done and have had it done 6 years ago, and we generally do two tattoos, which I'll explain, but they've had those two done and have not required any further tattooing. They've been quite happy. It's sort of faded to a level that they've actually thought, that's great, that's exactly what I want. But I think it's important to know that it is semi-permanent, and there is that potential that every 18 months or so you might be wanting to have a little bit of a top-up of that colour. So, ladies, I didn't add a sign, I probably should have, but ladies that are ready to have a tattoo, I guess are ladies that are at least 12 months post having any chemotherapy or radiotherapy. That's really important, so that your risk of infection has gone back to your normal risk of infection. If they've had a nipple reconstruction, that you need to be a good 4 months post having had your nipple reconstruction before you can have some tattooing, and that's because it allows the redness from the scarring to settle down a bit, the inflammation to settle down a little bit, and just allows a little bit more of an even uptake of the pigment. I've found as well that I think there occasionally you'll find some ladies that have wound issues post nipple reconstruction and things like that. If you're someone that has had some delayed healing and things post your nipple reconstruction or post surgery, then it's probably even better to stay a little bit longer than 4 months, just to make sure that things have really healed well. It's also important that when you're approaching the day that you're coming in to having your tattoo, that you're well, that in the past 2 weeks you haven't had a cough, a cold, a sore throat. That's just because when we have that, we can sometimes carry a bit of a strep infection, and we don't want that being passed on to the tattoo itself. So it's really important that you're 100% well when you're coming in to have the procedure. As a routine, when ladies are coming to see me to have a tattoo, I don't routinely do any skin tests or anything like that with the pigments. Quite often if we do a skin test, it's only really going to show if there's an immediate reaction. When I do it is when ladies come and tell me that they have lots of allergies, or particularly if they tell me that they have allergies to makeups and things, or that they have really sensitive skin, then I will do a skin test just to make sure that you're not going to have a negative reaction to the pigment itself. And it's also important that some ladies might be on some blood thinning medication. Aspirin is fine, that's not a problem at all. And I have done tattooing for ladies that are on warfarin, but I think it's just important to whoever you're seeing for your tattooing that you're letting them know if you're on any blood thinning medication, any steroids, or some acne medications as well can impact on the way our skin heals, can make our skin a little bit thinner. So they're just things that are important to be aware of. The tattooing service that I run at the Royal Women's Hospital is also one that, while it is a nurse-led clinic, patients are referred to me by the plastic surgeon or by the breast surgeon, and at present they are patients that have come from the Royal Melbourne Royal Women's Breast Service. So they've much taken a standard approach that I ask every lady to pop some local anaesthetic cream on before they come in, and I get them to either purchase some Emla or some Alamex creams, which are creams that you can purchase from the chemist. I get them just to pop a generous amount on the area that we're going to tattoo, and to cover that with some Glad Wrap, not to cover it with a gauze or anything like that, because that'll actually absorb that local anaesthetic. I find that I used to sort of say to ladies, well, do you have any sensation? And most ladies say, oh, look, no, not really, not much at all. And I say, okay, that's fine, come in. But then ladies would come in and we'd start to do a few things and they go, oh, I can feel that. And that's even me just sort of drawing or popping a bit of pigment on the skin. So that's why I've now sort of made it a bit of a standard rule that you just pop some local anaesthetic cream on. It just helps to make the experience comfortable. And I'll talk a little bit more about the experience. It's not uncomfortable, but it just helps to make it a bit more comfortable. When you're coming in to have a tattoo, I think you need to allow about an hour and a half to 2 hours for the actual time that you'll spend with the person doing the tattoo. And that allows a good time to talk about pigment colour selection, to talk about drawing the template and making sure that you're very happy. That's, you know, very, very important that you're very happy with both those choices. So I find in my consultations that's probably where a great deal of the time is spent. The actual process of doing the tattoo itself probably takes about 20 minutes to half an hour for one tattoo. So I say an hour and a half for having one tattoo done, allow about 2 hours if you're having two tattoos done. Sometimes it goes a little bit longer because I talk a little bit and ladies talk a bit, and which is a good thing because, as I said, it gives us an opportunity to talk about different things. So what we use for the pigments are iron oxide pigments. So they're actually pharmaceutical grade pigments. They're non-toxic. They're FDA approved for use in cosmetics. They're actually what we use to colour a lot of our cosmetics and drugs and foods. They're not actually FDA approved for injection. And obviously we're implanting it into the skin. We're scratching it into the skin. So we are doing that. But it's actually been used in this form, these pigments, for this process of tattooing since the early 70s. So, you know, very much in the early 70s they were using this for nipple and areola tattooing, and they continue to do that for the process of even trying to camouflage burns and scars, as well as, you know, quite often, and some ladies may have had it for your eye eyeliner, your lip liners and things like that. So it's very much been used in that process for a long time. That's good to know. The pigments that I use come from the UK, so they're European Union regulated, so they're very safe, and they have, for us in hospitals, we like material safety data sheets, so we just know that they're good safe products to be using and things. And being in a hospital, I found setting up this process probably very different to setting up the similar process out in the community. I have to stick to some very stringent guidelines and things. So instead of just opening these pigments and continuing to use them until I finish them, I discard them after 3 months and things. So we do have some obviously very tight regulations that minimise any risk of problems with the tattooing, which I think is nice coming into hospital and you know that it's nice and safe. This is the machine that I use. So it's actually just a handheld, that handheld device there that has, depends on what kind of tattoo I'm doing, but it has single-use needles that either have one or up to 10 tiny needles in them, and that's obviously single-use for each patient. And I turn on the machine, and I set the machine up to about 140 or 150 pulses per second, so it's a little bit like, pulses per minute, sorry, it's a little bit like a sewing machine, and that the needles are going up and down, up and down. So it's that process of the needles going up and down and dipping into our pigment that helps to implant the pigment into the skin. And as I was saying before, it's only very superficial. It probably goes into the skin about 1.5 to 2 millimetres, so very, very superficial. This is just a picture from the UK when I was doing my course. So when you come in for a normal consultation, it would really be myself or the person that you're seeing for the tattooing and yourself. You can bring someone in. Certainly when you come into the women's, you can bring a partner or a friend or someone in, but there'd be no one else from a hospital setting in the room. In this one, it's just one of the other girls that did the course with me, and this is a lady that taught me. And she's been on Embarrassing Bodies when they showed nipple tattooing. She was the lady, so I felt very privileged that she taught me. She was very, very good. These ladies were really good at teaching you how to try and represent it, you know, a detailed areola that looks very natural. When we're drawing that, colouring the areola itself, you don't want it just to look like a circle that's sitting on the breast mound. You want to try and make it as natural as possible, and that's what, you know, I've learnt there. And I think in the period that I've been running the clinic at the Royal Melbourne, I'm feeling I'm perfecting, because I think it's really important. We don't really look at our natural nipple and areola until something like this happens and you start to look a little bit closely, and they very much aren't a perfect circle, so we try and replicate that on each side. So when we're looking at, when you come in and we're planning to do our tattoo, we have a good chat first. I actually go through all the risks, which I'll talk about in a second, with the procedure, make sure that ladies are really happy, and I get them to sign a consent to say that they're happy to have that procedure done. We then go about choosing our pigment. So we're selecting our pigment colour. I've got quite a big range of colours, and they start from a very light beige up to a really deep, dark colours for African skins and things, and I have a very nice sort of burgundy colour. So I have a big range of colours that, for most part, with most ladies, I actually blend, and we try and find a colour that's going to represent what they like or represent their other areola, if they have So that's, we spend quite a bit of time. What I tend to do is that I use your natural skin as our canvas when we're mixing those colours. And as I said, if ladies have a natural nipple and areola on the other side, we'll actually use that as our template. So we'll mix some colours up. I usually show ladies my colour range and I get them to pick a colour that they think, I think that might be close. And we'll use that as our starting point. And so we'll use a little bit of a Q-tip and we'll actually place a little bit of that colour onto the natural areola. We'll wait for it to dry because the colour will change slightly when it dries. And we'll see what they think, what I think. And that's when we then start to blend. Do we need a little bit of pink here? Do we need a little bit of beige? And we try and blend so that we can get as close a match as we possibly can. Ladies that are having a bilateral nipple and areola done, then we're just sort of looking at that template, picking a colour that they think I like that, and then again mixing and just popping onto their natural skin so that they can see, get an idea of how the pigment sits on their skin. It's a little bit like perfume though. You know how you smell a perfume on someone else and you really like that smell, and then you buy that perfume, you think, well, it doesn't quite smell the same. Pigments will, I find, slightly alter. I find the browns, the beiges and the true browns, stay pretty true to their colour. What you see on the skin is pretty much what ladies come back and show me. When I'm looking at the pinks and the pinks and the reddy colours, they vary. They do vary slightly. But I said the browns very much stay true to their colour. So come in, we spend quite a bit of time looking at the pigment itself and picking the pigment that they're really happy with and things, looking in the mirror. Ideally, I should have a room that has natural light coming into it, but in a hospital setting, it's very hard to find a room that has natural light. So we do have fluorescent lights and things, but I have a very nice big mirror so that we can spend quite a bit of time looking and working out what ladies are happy with in regards to their colour. The next part of it is that, that's what I was going to say before, I apologise. With the colours, we pick the areola colour first, and then the nipple colour itself, again trying to blend to the other side if we have that. Otherwise we're going for a deeper colour because generally the nipple itself looks deeper. And that helps the nipple to stand out a little bit more. And sometimes what we'll do is we'll pick some highlighting and some shading colours as well to pop around the nipple itself. And that again, especially if the nipple sits a little bit flatter, that can help the nipple to step out a little bit more. So when we're drawing the actual template itself, when you're seeing the plastic surgeons, they very much like their blue marker and they'll mark everything out quite heavily. I can't use a blue marker because that colour will actually be implanted into your skin when I'm going over with the tattooing machine. So I actually use a mineral-based lip liner. And so I use that mineral-based lip liner. Again, in the hospital, I can only use one for each patient, so I give these to my ladies and they come back in for their second treatment with their mineral-based lip liner. But I'm able to use that, and I try and get as deep a mineral-based one as I can get. So I can use that onto the skin. I can tattoo over it, and that colour's not going to be left there. We only have our pigment colour because we need a guide. Otherwise, we could end up with some templates that are, or some areola shapes that aren't quite true to how they should be. So we use that. When I have ladies that are just having one nipple and areola tattoo, we use again the natural areola as our template. And what we try and do is that either using calipers or using a ruler and things, I try and mark out so that we're trying to give a mirror image to the other side. So sometimes I said ladies' areolas will sort of won't sit perfectly round, they'll sit out to the side perhaps this way, and I'll try and make sure that on the other side it does the same. Especially if you've had surgery to the other side, if you've had a lift or anything like that, you'll have scarring around the outside of the areola which will change that shape. So we try as much as we can to balance it, to match it as close as we can. Bearing in mind that it's not a perfect science, it's an art, and it's the same with the pigment itself. We can never ever guarantee that we could give you perfect symmetry in that colour or in that shape, but we try really hard to get as close as we can. And that's where I said that discussion between the ladies and myself is, you know, really important, and where most of our time is spent trying to get it to a point where they're really happy. Sometimes when we're drawing that template out, we've got to take into account that ladies may have already have some asymmetry, an imbalance between their reconstructed breasts or their natural breasts and their reconstructed breasts. So we try and work out where they're going to be comfortable with the areola being. And sometimes what we can do is we can sort of try and match the height of the areola. So it's very similar when you're looking down, you'll see the height being at the same point. But it's trying to bear in mind that sometimes that can make the difference between the breasts stand out. Because if we come up higher on one side trying to match the other side, it might mean that we either have a much bigger areola or we have less areola under the nipple on that side and more above. But we spend quite a bit of time drawing it out and trying to work out what's best. You'll see with some photos that I've got in a minute that, you know, when you have a nipple reconstruction, you need to very much use the nipple that's there, and you're trying to find that balance. You know, you have some that the symmetry is perfect, and you have others where, you know, it's still not. But it's about trying to complement, I think, the breast that we've reconstructed. But that's a discussion that you would have with the person doing your tattoo and what you're very happy with. That's the most important part. And so when I'm doing a bilateral areola, they say that the standard size of an areola is about 4.2 centimetres. So often I'll sort of draw something about that size, but again taking into account that some of us have a smaller bust, some of us have a larger bust. And so you're trying to work out what's the size of the areola that we're drawing that's going to complement the bust size that you have. And again, that's a discussion between yourself and the person doing the tattoo. When I'm doing the process, the tattoo process, as I said before, it's not sort of like drawing a circle. I do draw the circle, but I actually don't run my tattoo machine around and make a permanent line around the outer edge, if that makes sense. I don't want the outer edge to look like a perfect circle that's been put there. You want it to look a bit rough and a bit jagged, because our areola generally does. So what I actually do, even though we've drawn that circle around the outside for our size of our areola, and we've generally drawn a circle around the nipple as well, just to make sure that that stands out for the process. Because when we lay down, sometimes even if we think that looks pretty clear, it actually disappears slightly. So we very much draw around. What I do is I actually start by drawing around the nipple itself, around that circle, and then I start from the outer aspect of the nipple, coming out and going back in and coming out, and doing that process back and forth all the way around. And then I go around again, around the nipple, all the way around that way. So that at the outer edges, once I get to the outer edges, I actually just do a little bit of a crisscross. And I couldn't do a crisscross with the computer, I apologise. But a little bit of a crisscross on the edges, so it makes the edges a bit rougher, rather than looking like a perfect circle. And then we come to the nipple and things itself, and colour the nipple afterwards. And that just, as I said, tries to give us as close as possible a natural looking areola. So with the patient experience, most of the ladies that I see very much tolerate this very well. As I said, I found that early on that some ladies that would come in and say, I have no sensation at all, I'd get to the point of drawing on their breast with my lip liner, and they go, oh, I can feel that. So that's why I very much went to the point of putting local anaesthetic on everybody. But I find that most ladies, and I've tried to work it out yesterday, I think I've performed about 78 to 80 tattoos, and I've probably only had one lady that really, really couldn't tolerate it. She did, but just found it quite excruciating. The rest of the ladies have either had no discomfort at all, or have said that, look, like that's a bit of scratching, but that's fine. Occasionally what I've had is I've had some ladies where when you're coming back to this here, when you're doing that pattern, when we're sort of going around the areola in different forms, that there'll be some areas of the breast itself where there's a little bit more sensitivity than others, and so there'll be some segments where we sort of come back to a little bit, because that's just a little bit more uncomfortable there. And we can add some more local anaesthetic at the time. I don't tend to inject any local anaesthetic when I'm doing it. And apart from one lady, I've really had no one that I've needed to do that. But I have had some ladies where we've had to stop for a little bit, because some portions are a little bit sore, and pop a little bit more local anaesthetic on for them. But as I said, you know, probably the bigger percentage of ladies that I see find that there's no discomfort at all, or very minimal. Most describe that scratching sensation on their skin. So the actual healing process, what happens when we're doing this? We're obviously breaking the skin. So we're breaking the skin, and we're causing a little bit of an abrasion, a wound to the skin when we're implanting that pigment into the skin. So we will get, when we're doing the tattoo, you will get a little bit of a light, we call it hemosiris, but a bit of a light blood ooze. So a bit of a watery, bloody ooze. It's got a bit of pigment on it. And sometimes that won't happen for a little while, and then it'll start to come. And that's the body's normal way of protecting itself. We've broken the skin, we've popped this foreign product into the skin to implant the colour. And so what happens is that it sometimes can develop, a little bit of a crust as it heals, and it will take probably 7 to 14 days to heal. 7 to 14 days for it to go from looking like a graze on the breast to looking like colour on your skin. And I have some ladies that say, look, within 3 or 4 days, this was healed, and other ladies that have very much gone to that 14-day period before it is healed properly. But what happens is that ooze that has occurred when we've broken the skin and put that pigment in can either form a little bit of a crust on the skin, or really it looks to me more like a thickening of that pigment on the outside. And that's a protective layer that's protecting the colour underneath. So, you know, like you would if someone fell over and grazed their knee, don't lift the crust that develops, don't lift that crust or that pigment layer that develops on the breast. It's protecting the pigment underneath, allowing it to heal well. And over a period of time, the 7 to 14 days, that thickening of pigment or that crust will lift away and we'll have our colour underneath. So it's different for everyone, but it's, you know, somewhere around the 7 to 14 days I've seen. What happens is that when we finish the tattooing procedure on the day, you'll actually see that you have quite a red inflamed areola, and it will, the colour you'll think, oh, that's a bit darker than what we were picking when we were drawing our pigments. And that's because we're inflaming the area, we're causing some irritation to the skin, and as I said, you're getting that protective layer that will eventually occur on the outside. When that protective layer lifts off, you'll actually find that you'll have about 40% less colour than what you have when we finish the tattoo on the day of tattooing. What will happen is, I'll talk a little bit more about looking after it afterwards, but generally, as I said, you'll lose 40% of the colour in that first period. Then I organise for ladies to come back and see me in about 6 to 10 weeks, and we organise for a second tattoo. And that just helps us to make sure that we're putting enough colour in, enough detail. Sometimes we can add a little bit more of that highlighting and shading if we need it to give a bit more definition to the areola itself. I've had some ladies that have... I had one lady actually that came 2 Fridays ago, and she'd driven all the way from South Morang to come to the women's, and she came in with her husband, and I was running late, as I always am. Lola can vouch for that. And I set everything up, and then she came in and she undressed and she had her local anaesthetic on, and she said, I don't think I need a second tattoo, I'm really happy. And so she undressed, and she was, she had great colour, and she said, I don't need a second one, I'm very happy. And I've had a couple of ladies do that. I said to this lady, well, next time, because we booked another one in for maybe about 3 months' time, just in case she decides maybe I do want some colour. But I said, maybe next time, just call me. Don't come all the way from South Morang. But I've had ladies that have said, I'm very happy. That's enough colour for me. When you're coming back to sort of picking your colours and things, if you're finding on the day you're not sure, should I go a little bit darker, should I go a little bit lighter, I generally say go a little bit lighter. There's two lines of thought, that if you go a bit darker, this is going to fade over time, so it will come to the colour that you want. But I think we're planning to do 2 tattoos. If on the initial day, when you're not sure how that colour is going to look on your skin, pick a slightly lighter colour, because when you come in for that second appointment in 6 to 10 weeks, we can go darker. Very easy to go darker. It's harder to go lighter. Time will allow it to go lighter. The same with your size. If you're sort of looking there thinking, do I want it to be this big or should I go a little bit smaller? Again, I say go on the side of caution and go a little bit smaller, because when you're coming back at 6 to 10 weeks, when you've seen that colour on your skin, that's when you can say, well, you know what, that's a great size, or yes, let's go a little bit bigger. So as I was sort of highlighting before, with the actual process, because we're putting something foreign into your skin, there are risks associated with that. There's certainly a risk of redness. And as I said, the actual area that we've tattooed will look quite red and inflamed. What can sometimes happen as well, I've noticed, and more so with some ladies and not at all with others, the actual process of scratching this pigment into the skin can sometimes cause a little bit of redness to the outside of the areola area, so the outer aspects of the breast itself. And I've had one lady, and I should have brought her photo, I did it, that I pop drapes on when I do the process, and I took the drapes off and it looked like this big ring right around the outside. It went away within an hour. That's the most extreme. But I find that for some ladies, because we've scratched the skin, we've popped something foreign into it, it's a bit irritated. You can sometimes have these little, almost like little spider veins of redness that can extend out. But as I said, it's generally gone within a couple of hours. It certainly will cause some inflammation. It can cause a little bit of irritation. Some ladies will say, again, it's a wound that's healing over that process of 7 to 14 days. Some ladies will say it can feel a little bit tight. It can feel a bit itchy, a little bit irritating. And certainly I've had a couple of ladies that have said that they've had some bruising to the outer aspect of the breast. There's a risk of infection. It's a very, very low risk. There aren't a lot of research papers and things out there. We hope to do a formal assessment next semester with my studies and things. But the research that's out there documents that it's probably about 3%, but I think it's probably even lower. It's probably closer to 1%. But again, we're popping something foreign into your skin. And that's where, for that risk of infection, that's where it comes back to making sure that you're 100% well when you come in to have the tattooing done, and making sure in your aftercare, which we'll talk about in a moment, that you're making sure that you're keeping the area nice and clean, and your hands are very clean when you're caring for the area. That's really, really important. So what I recommend after the tattoo is that after the process is finished, I actually apply a layer of Bepanthen, which is an antiseptic ointment, onto the tattoo itself, and generally pop a generous amount on there, and that just helps to reduce the risk of infection, but it also stops that irritated feeling, because it's, again, a graze that can sometimes feel a bit dry, so it's stopping that top layer of pigment, that crust that may develop, from getting tight and cracking. Because, as I said, I think it's a layer that protects, and you want it to stay nice and moist, so it protects the pigment underneath rather than cracking. So I pop a generous layer of the Bepanthen ointment on, and I generally pop either some gauze, or I get ladies to bring in some nursing pads and get them to pop a nursing pad on. I get you to, pretty much from the very start, I get ladies to change that Bepanthen and the nursing pad 3 times a day. And that, again, is just making sure that the area is healing really well, that they're looking at the area when they're changing it, because then the sensation in the area can very much be reduced. Quite often, if we've had something done or if we've got a bit of an infection in a part of our body, we'll notice it, we'll feel it before perhaps we see it. With the breast, because the sensation is reduced, you might not feel it. So I very much ask ladies to, when they're applying their Bepanthen, and to do that in the front of a mirror, so that they can see that the area is healing. And so you want to see that you're starting to get that ooze that was developing, it's starting to dry off. You haven't gone days down the track and you've still got quite a lot of ooze that's coming. That there's no redness, there's no heat in the breasts and things, any signs of infection. So I get ladies to pop that Bepanthen and changing the nursing pad every 3 times a day until it no longer looks like a graze. And quite often, some ladies that say, look, it just feels a bit irritated, still feels a bit uncomfortable, I tell them to keep using the Bepanthen for a little while, just so that they're keeping some moisture to that area. In the process of keeping it dry, I actually ask ladies to not have a shower for the first 48 hours if they can. And really that's because we don't want there to be any direct pressure of the water on the area, which is going to lift that crust or that thick pigment that's developing. You don't want any irritation to it. So I try and get ladies to try and keep the area dry if they can. Once you start having a shower, I advise you just to, again, avoid the direct pressure of the water on the area. You can allow, you know, water running down and things is fine, but just avoid that direct pressure so we're not disrupting that pigment. And when you're drying the area, just to pat dry, not to rub dry, because we don't want there to be anything, any rubbing, scratching or picking at that actual crust that's developing. As I said, it's protecting that pigment underneath. It's important, while it looks like a graze, while it's not just colour on your skin, to avoid swimming in chlorine especially, to avoid any sunbeds or sunbathing if ladies like to do that. And that's, as I said, until it's completely healed. That's thought that direct sunlight, that chlorine, might actually cause further irritation to the skin, but it might actually negatively impact on the amount of pigment that we're left with afterwards. And as I said, we'll lose about 40% of that colour afterwards. Because you've now joined the club of having a tattoo, we've popped these iron oxide pigments into the skin. Those iron oxide pigments can actually be irritated if you were to have an MRI. Doesn't cause any problems at all, no risk, no reason you can't have an MRI, you certainly can. But I think it's just good to know that you might have an MRI and then notice that there's almost a little bit of a tingling sensation at the area that you've had a tattoo, and that's just the iron oxide pigments. Just something to be aware of, I think. The patient feedback that I've had has been very positive. The ladies, and as I said, the service that I've been providing, generally the ladies that I've been able to provide a tattoo for a ladies that I've known along their journey, and they've been happy because I think we have quite a good rapport and we're able to talk about a lot of things during the consultation as well, which is really helpful. I've been able to refer people to other things if need be and things as well. But they've, from a verbal point of view, they've been generally very happy with the post-tattoo results. As I said, we plan to formally assess that to see, because I think sometimes they probably know me too well and they give me very much positive feedback and things, but they generally are happy. It's a really nice way to spend a Friday afternoon. I generally find that the ladies are very surprised when they get up and they have a look in the mirror for the first time, even though they understand that there's some redness and this is much deeper than what it would be in the, sort of the next 7 to 14 days. It truly does give some definition and completes the reconstruction for them, and generally it's a really nice tears of joy. It's really, really nice. So, photos. So I've got a few photos, I apologise. In the room where I do my tattooing, it's probably quite a small room, and when I was putting this together, I thought I do probably take my photos quite close to ladies. I've got a couple that have come from professional photographers, but most of them are myself, so I might think now and try and step back a little bit further. But I've tried to put together a range of photographs to show you ladies that have had different types of reconstruction. So they've either had implant reconstruction or tissue reconstruction. They've either had needed one tattoo, or they've needed both tattoos. And there are ladies in here as well that have fantastic symmetry, so a good match from each side, and there are other ladies where the symmetry perhaps isn't so great. And I think I didn't want to just bring you photos that are all this is wonderful and things. I think it's important that you can see the differences. Not saying that the ladies aren't happy, they very much have all been really happy. So as you can see, this lady has had an implant reconstruction, and this is post. So this is immediately post a tattoo. So you can see it's quite intense, and you've got a bit of redness there, but hopefully you can see the colour well. But the colour match is quite good. It might help to see the colour. Is that a bit better? Sometimes it's hard, and you think, oh, what colours will we put together and things. But it's, as I said, we spend quite a lot of time where with those pigments, initially, we sort of blended them together, and I actually just sort of rubbed them on the outside of the areola here, and we have a bit of a look and we let them dry. Sometimes we've used so many pigments that we end up with a rainbow of colours and we can't quite see the natural areola anymore, and we have to wipe off and start again. But we do spend quite a bit of time trying to get the colour as close as we possibly can. And so that's that lady. As I said, that's immediately after. I've got another lady now. So this lady obviously has had bilateral reconstruction, and she's had a DAP flap, so they've used her tummy fat and skin to reconstruct both her breasts, and she's got the nipple reconstruction there. So you can see the symmetry of the nipples isn't too bad at all. It's actually quite good. And this is immediately post the tattoo. So again, this lady will come back in about 6 to 10 weeks' time, and she will have another tattoo. And so in that period of time, she'll have lost a lot of that redness, and she will just have the colour to the skin itself. Again, another lady that has had used her tummy to reconstruct the breast and the nipple reconstruction as well. And that's immediately post again. And for myself, I mean, where I stand, it does give back that definition to the breast, and most ladies are quite happy because it just, even though we can still see that we have the scarring from the flap itself, because we've given some colour to the areola itself, it does lift a little bit and take away from that flap. There's some thought in the UK, and I haven't done this as yet, and it probably falls back to time constraints and things, but sometimes using the same needles that we use with the pigment to apply the pigment without the pigment at all, there's thought that you can actually run that dry needle over the scars, and running the dry needle over the scars can help to aerate the scar a little bit, helps to revamp the melanin if you like, and somehow just helps to lessen the scar a little bit. When I went to the UK, they were using that process a lot for big burns and having a really good result. As I said, we haven't used it as yet, and I haven't probably had anyone where the scarring was quite severe that we really needed to, but it's a possibility that they can use some dry needling to try and reduce the flap scars that can occur. So this is another lady. This lady has had her first tattoo already. So she's had, on the other side here on her left side, she's had a bit of a reduction in a lift to try and give some symmetry to the other side. And so that's where you can see almost that lollipop type of scar, where the shape of the areola itself has altered because there's scarring around the areola, and they've got your small scar that's coming underneath as well. So for this time, for the first time we did this procedure, just trying to work out again the previous time what size and things that we were trying to make the areola. We can sometimes try and complement and do exactly the same size. We can measure it out and be exactly the same size as the other, as the left side. Bearing in mind that the breast on the right side sits a bit higher, is a little bit smaller. So it's, again, in conversation with ladies, trying to work out what they're happy with. But this is the colour that we have about 6 to 10 weeks, this lady's probably closer to 10 weeks, after the first tattoo. And the next photo shows immediately after the second procedure. So again, you can see what we're talking about with that redness and the irritation to the skin, that it will very much look like a graze for a little while. This is another lady that's had attempts at, she has an implant on the left side and attempts at trying to lift. So again, she's got that lollipop scar on the left side. She's had an implant reconstruction on the right. She didn't have enough tissue to be able to have tissue reconstruction. And we're still trying, she's still very much trying to do things to try and give a little bit more symmetry for herself. But this is pre the tattoo. And the next photo is actually post the second tattoo, and probably about a month post the second tattoo. So even though we still very much have this asymmetry there, the difference, because we're trying to replicate a natural breast with its natural droop with an implant is very difficult. The colour, she was very happy. She was actually very, very happy with the colour, and it was quite a good match. This lady, well, she'd had bilateral mastectomies and she'd had bilateral implant reconstruction. The photo I got, the second photo I had for her as well, is post the second tattoo and quite a few weeks post the second tattoo. Her areola that she chose are very pale and they're very small. And again, it's that conversation that you have. Sometimes I might think, well, you know, we could go a little bit bigger. It's your decision, and we draw things out in ladies as well. This lady, so obviously mastectomy, and used her tummy to reconstruct the breast on the left side. And that's post the first tattoo. So immediately post, so quite red, but immediately post that first tattoo. This is my last lady. So she, again, this lady again has had just a mastectomy on the left side and implant reconstruction. On the right side, she's had the lift again, so you can vaguely see that she's got the scarring around the areola itself. And this is post her first tattoo. So this is probably just pre the second tattoo, so about 10 weeks post the first one. And this is immediately post the second tattoo. I think it's very, photos are really difficult because you're looking at other people and obviously contemplating something that you may go through, and I think it's very difficult when you're looking at other people's bodies and things. And what you see as being okay and what other ladies see as okay very much varies. And that's why I said that it's important to feel very comfortable with the person that's doing the tattoo, and knowing that you're having time to discuss your options and things is really, really, really important. I've had a couple of ladies, I think two ladies, where two tattoos didn't give them the colour they wanted, didn't give them quite the size that they wanted, and they've come back again and we've done a third tattoo. I generally spread that time out for the third tattoo just because you're irritating the skin, and we need that 6 to 10 weeks initially because it allows the skin to really heal. So if ladies felt that they needed a third tattoo for some more colour and definition, then I tend to say, you know, probably wait 3 to 4 months for the third one just to allow things to settle well. That's my talk. You know, if anybody had any questions. Yeah, the slide that I didn't have on here. So if there are other nurses, is that what you're asking, that come to other hospitals, or other specialists that do the tattooing that come to so at present, patients need to come to the Royal Women's Breast Service. They need to be a patient of the Royal Women's Royal Melbourne Breast Service because of our capacity. There are other people around that you can have, where you can have the tattooing, and I have to apologise because when I did my talk at 8 o'clock on Monday night, I somehow deleted the slide that had a couple of ladies' names on it, so I will be passing that on. But there are some cosmetic tattooists around. A lot of plastic surgeons have cosmetic tattooists that come and visit in their rooms, and so you can see someone that way. Some plastic surgeons also do the tattooing as well. And on the BCNA website, there's the name of one lady that comes, and her name, this might be Millington, Lisa Millington, but I'd have to double check. But there's a lady on that website. But there are quite a few cosmetic tattooists around. That went over. No, no. As far as we know, there are cosmetic tattooists that very much are very qualified in doing this, but from a nursing perspective, having a breast care nurse, as far as we know, this is the first of its kind in Australia. But I might be able to come back to your question after.
Any more questions for me? So how do we find out who the cosmetic tattooists
are? I'll put a list together for you, yeah, and I'll pass it through. I apologise, that slide was the most important one probably, and I deleted, and well, I didn't have it. Oh, so the glad wrap is just when you're coming in to see the cosmetic tattooist in order to have the local anaesthetic there. So I generally say to ladies, pop it on just before you leave home. That way, by the time you come in and you've probably waited for someone like me, it's probably been on for about an hour and a half.
So when you've done the tattoo, you don't cover it?
No, when we've done the tattoo, I pop the Bantan antiseptic ointment on, and that's pretty much what all cosmetic tattooists in Australia will do. In the UK, they actually don't put anything on. But in Australia, it's pretty standard. They would put the pants and antiseptic on, and then they'd either get you to pop some gauze on or a nursing pad on.
Yeah, look, I generally
say to ladies, definitely wear a bra. So have your nursing pad on top and wear a nice supportive bra. Don't, perhaps if ladies tell me that they're better than me and they're real good gym junkies and they do lots of upper body work, I'd probably say don't do that for a week, your upper body stuff, just to allow, minimise any friction within the bra, because that's going to cause some rubbing. Definitely go and do all your lower body work and things, that's no problem at all. But yeah, that's probably the most important thing. You don't want to be doing anything that's causing some friction there, allowing the area to heal well, and keeping it dry for the first 48 hours. Yeah, I haven't had any problem. I've had one lady that had quite bad lymphedema that was actually extending up within her breast, and I was a bit dubious, and I spoke to the plastic surgeon and things, and we went ahead, and she's had no problems. She's had no problems. I'm not sure why, you know, maybe because it's so superficial, but yeah, I haven't had any problem with that. Yes. Possibly. It's a very new process for me, so I've just started to get to ladies that are at that point, and some ladies saying, let's just book me in for 18 months and I'll cancel it if I don't need it and things. I've met other ladies that have had a tattoo done, and this lady would have had, I didn't do a tattoo, but she would have had a tattoo that was along your darker browns, and she's not required any further tattooing 6 years down the track. And that's where I think, when I was talking about those pigment colours, when I do a tattoo for ladies that are choosing really deep browns, they come back to me and that colour pretty much looks exactly how we put it on. So I don't know if it's something about the pigment itself, but there is that potential that every 18 months you might need a top-up. There's other ladies, as I said, that will get to a point where they think, you know what, this is faded lovely, I'm happy and don't need it. So it would be I think planning your mind that's something that you would most likely need to do, but you might find that you don't need to. Yeah, correct. Yep. Well, that's it. Well, I think some people don't, but I think twice is probably, it's good because it consolidates it, but you're right. You know, if there's some ladies that come and go, oh, whatever colour, you know, it's like, oh, that was 5 seconds and we've picked our colour, which is very odd. But some, you know, some ladies do say, you know, yeah, definitely go darker. If you feel comfortable doing that the first time, then you're right. That's going to allow you to fade over time and probably get closer to what, you know, you would like. But if you're not sure, that's where I say definitely stick to a lighter first. Then you're able to come back at that 6 to 10 week period, knowing how that pigment has settled on your skin and knowing what you want to do next. There's my. I've heard varying things. I've heard from some plastic surgeons and some patients that they can find cosmetic tattooists and they might pay as much as $350 for one tattoo. Then I've heard of other cosmetic tattooists that have, you know, had people pay $100, or have had ladies that they've just found were in financial hardship and have actually done it pro bono, done it at no charge at all. But there is potential that the most I've heard is around $350, possibly slightly higher, for one tattoo.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast. You can subscribe to Brecan's podcasts or browse existing ones at our website, www.brecan.org.au.